I remember chatting with your mom and then looking at this girl thinking, why is she following my husband around? Like, I just knew something was wrong. Everything just felt so intense. There was nowhere else for her to be other than upstairs. Walk upstairs, take a deep breath,
and then I open the bedroom door.
My name is Abby, and I'm the voice behind the Evolving Love Project. In this podcast, my husband and I deep dive into the topics of non-monogamy and polyamory, drawing from our experiences of being consensually non-monogamous for almost a decade.
My name is Liam. Whether you're monogamous, polyamorous, curious, or anything in between, we invite you to join us for this conversation.
Let's begin. So yesterday I released a Substack article called Jealous Rage.
You did.
And it's a pretty amazing story, and we'll get into that in a little bit. It's been a fun one to reflect on. I think it was from 2015. Maybe 2016.
Yeah, it was one of those crazy moments where it certainly took us off guard. And it was, I mean, often we're asked, you know, do we ever get jealous? And do these emotions ever arise? The other day when we were chatting about what we could talk about on the podcast and what you could write about, I said, well, what's the most jealous you've ever been?
Yeah. And it's kind of those, like, the worst thing that's ever happened. It's like in that category.
Yes. Yeah. I think it, well, it's definitely the most jealous you've ever been. And it was one of the craziest situations that we've certainly ever had.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll definitely get into that. But how amazing was the last podcast episode with Elle McAlpine? It was just unbelievable.
Yeah, Elle is incredible. For those of you who have not yet had a chance to listen to this episode, Elle McAlpine is an intimacy coordinator for lots of TV shows, but most recently she did the intimacy coordination for Poor Things, which starred Emma Stone. It's like this big Academy nominated. I think it's got 13 Oscar nominations at the moment, including for Best Actress and Best Picture and the whole thing. And it's, I'm sure it's going to win a whole bunch. But she was truly incredible.
She really was. I mean, I was wishing that she could be our intimacy coordinator. She's just such a light.
She was. Yeah. After we finished chatting, we were like, she is so awesome. How do we be friends with her?
Yeah, we want to be besties with Elle McAlpine. So
yeah, we'll have to go to England and we'll catch up for a hang.
Yeah, or just enroll in some acting courses and then try and
get some intimacy coordination.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But that was an interesting one. I actually met Emma Stone years ago when we were living in New York City.
Back in
2014 when I worked at an incredibly bougie hotel in Soho. I think, yeah, we were on a working visa where we could only work retail or hospitality. It was like a J-1 visa for Australians who could live and work in America, but you couldn't be seen to be taking jobs from Americans or something. So
yeah,
it was like the first visa that we ever got. It was just for 13 months. And so I was working at this bougie hotel, and it was just an amazing experience, actually, because it was full of celebrities all of the time. And I'm from little old Canberra, where celebrities for us are like politicians.
If you see the Prime Minister, you're like, oh, there's a sighting.
Yeah, there's a sighting of the Prime Minister. But that was quite an experience. And I remember Emma was staying at the hotel. She was with Andrew Garfield at the time. And I remember chatting with them in the mornings on a couple of occasions.
And she was lovely, right?
Absolutely lovely. Delight.
I'm glad, because she seems like a lovely person.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
But those were actually interesting days. Do you remember me telling you about a couple who approached me for a threesome?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think they approached you a couple of times, right?
It was two times.
Yeah, that's right.
Two times. And he was absolutely gorgeous. She was gorgeous as well. But he was like French and had this sort of like long hair and this beautiful accent. And he was flirting with me and he was like my girlfriend and I, something or other. And I just thought, wow, this is a whole other world. And you and I were at that point, we were discussing non-monogamy. I don't think it had happened yet.
No, yeah. I think it was maybe theoretical at the time.
It was theoretical.
This was 20, 14.
Yeah. I think I remember feeling a little bit guilty just because he asked me, because I felt like, what had I done to, you know, for him to feel confident enough to approach me to join him and his beautiful partner.
Was he a guest or was he?
He was a guest at the hotel.
Yeah. Amazing.
Some mega babe.
Oh, if only.
I know.
If only it had happened a few years later.
I wonder what would happen now.
Who knows? Yeah. I mean, he sounds lovely. I'm sure him and his wife are lovely people.
Yeah, definitely. But those are the days. I definitely have some very interesting stories from the from working at that amazing hotel.
You do. But that was your encounter, or a few encounters with Emma Stone. But in addition to speaking with Elle McAlpine, and that episode is already out, as I said, so please do check it out. In the last week, we have also had the pleasure of recording two other podcasts as well, with two incredible guests, very different guests.
Yes.
I would say.
Yes. Amazing guests. We had a beautiful morning and podcast with Tyson Younger-Porter, who is a First Nations man and author of Sand Talk and Right Story, Wrong Story. Mm. And wow, what a beautiful, beautiful human he is. We had such a rich, deep, beautiful conversation with him where we discussed Indigenous, you know, his perspectives on, you know, Indigenous sexuality and relationships and, you know, non-monogamy in those communities. And, oh, it was just absolutely fascinating.
Mm. And he shared so many beautiful personal stories and reflections, and he was just so amazingly vulnerable. And it was the first time we'd ever met and had a chat, obviously. But it just seemed like we just kind of dropped into this very deep kind of yarn straight out of the gate, which was really incredible.
Yeah, I was quite taken aback by how deep and personal the conversation did go. And it was also funny. Goodness, he's a funny guy.
He's very funny. Yeah.
Oh. He's a real character.
Yeah, he could definitely moonlight as a comedian, I think.
Yeah, he really could. So definitely looking forward to catching up with him sometime
in
the future.
And we'll be dropping that episode probably in a few weeks.
Yes.
But the other interview that we did, which we'll be releasing next week, next Friday, was with an incredible man / latex fetish model.
Oh my goodness. He is amazing. Yeah. Kyron Kruger.
He is amazing.
King Kruger.
And he is, yeah, I mean, what a dude. What a guy. What a beautiful person. I mean, if you see some of his pictures, you kind of go into anything, and we'd never met him in person either.
Mm.
You kind of construct this idea of what a latex fetish model will be like when you meet someone. And then he was just, he's just the loveliest dude.
He's 100% love.
Yeah. Yeah. We are huge fans.
And gorgeous and deep.
Yeah. Just like unbelievably beautiful in all the ways.
In all of the ways. We had a beautiful dinner with him and just a beautiful afternoon and early evening spent together. So gosh, we're feeling very nourished.
Yeah, lots of amazing conversations. So so that's a little podcast update. But I think with that, we should jump in to this story.
Yes.
Now, this is
a jealous rage.
This is definitely a jealous rage, as your Substack article pointed towards.
I mean, maybe a confusion rage.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. As the story unravels, we'll leave it up to the listeners to kind of figure out what type of rage it was.
Set the scene, Liam.
Okay, so setting the scene. So we're about to fly out to New York.
Yes.
I think we're flying out to New York maybe the day after.
To move back to New York.
To move back to New York after we'd already been there. And we'd previously been in Sydney. And we'd driven down to Melbourne, which is where one of my sisters lives.
Mm-hmm.
And this was my sister's 21st birthday party.
Love her friends, and loved that party. Yeah. What a crew.
It was an incredible party.
Family, friends.
Yeah. And
parents.
And in terms of where we were at with our non-monogamy, at that point, so what year would this have been?
Well, I was thinking about it, and I think it was actually, it was about 6 months after we got married, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
I think.
So they'd already been dalliances in
Yes, we were already non-monogamous, but we were very much just having experiences together. Everything was, you know, deeply discussed and thought out and planned, and, you know, all, you know, possibilities were discussed, you know, comfort levels, all of that. So we were very across that aspect of things. So no, not too many surprises or curveballs.
Yes.
Coming our way.
Yeah. And when we had kind of engaged in situations and done these things, they'd all be very planned, and they'd certainly not been off the cuff and with people that we hadn't previously had chats with.
Yes, exactly.
Which is important for this story, because this story involves a character who we didn't know.
No.
At all.
No.
Until the night of.
Yes. At your sister's 21st birthday party.
At my sister's 21st birthday party. So the evening's going great.
We're working the room, chatting with everybody, catching up, having a beautiful, beautiful time.
Mm.
And then I just noticed there was this girl and she was just watching you intently. Like she just could not get her eyes off you. We were introduced to her. She was sort of like a distant kind of like a new, not a close friend, I think a new friend of your sister's. And we met her and I just remember her looking at you like she looked kind of obsessed. Like, I mean, I know you're an absolutely gorgeous human in every way, but it was like she really had her eyes on you.
And you remember what color hair she had?
She had dark brown hair.
She did.
It was short.
Yeah.
And smiling.
I remember thinking she's a cutie.
She was definitely a cutie.
She had like a whole like Melbourne cutie thing going on.
Okay. Yeah. She definitely had a Melbourne cutie thing going on.
Yeah.
This is like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Nearly 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And the night's happening. You were kind of oblivious to her, I feel. You were chatting with people.
Yeah. But there was like 100 people at the party.
There were 100 people at the party. Yeah. And I just noticed because you and I sort of split off at different points. I'm chatting with people, you're chatting with people, and she was just following you around. I feel like anywhere that you were, she was close by.
Yeah, I didn't notice this.
She was within meters of you at all times.
I mean, that's creepy.
I think it was a bit creepy, and I just had my eye on her and I thought, that's weird. And I remember you like going into another room at one point and she sort of like looked around. Like I definitely saw her at a few points like looking for you. And then she'd like go into the room where you were and then I'd go into the room. And then she was like standing near you but not talking with you but sort of like just there. And I was like,
it's so weird that I didn't notice that.
You didn't notice because you're always very focused on whoever you're chatting with. But I think she was perhaps a little bit shy.
Maybe I was flattered by her omnipresence.
You didn't know what was going on. I was watching you because I'm like a Hawkeye. I'm like, what is going on? Is there some kind of like chemistry situation that I haven't picked up on? Mind you, this was like not any like approved situation.
Yeah, it's not like we're at like some sexy party where we know all the sexy non-monogamous folk and we're like, you know, it's very different these days.
Yeah.
If we're at a, you know, pre-arranged partay.
Or just the vibe or the headspace. It's like we were at a party. Our families were there.
Yeah.
Like I remember chatting with your mom and then looking at this girl thinking, why is she following my husband around? This is totally weird. Anyway, the night continues on. The night gets later.
Yes.
And I'm starting to feel a bit tired. So I go over to you. I'm like, and I had to walk past her and I remember her there because she was just there. And I was like, how's it going? And you're like, I'm getting tired.
Well, like, we had to fly out the next day.
We had to fly out.
So I was kind of like, oh, you know, we wanted to party and we wanted to like represent, obviously. And it was my sister's 21st. We thought, okay, well, maybe we should kind of call it. And at that point, I think as well, I was like, I was ready just to call it a night.
Yeah.
And we were staying at my sister's.
Well, that's right. We were staying.
Which is an important thing for this story.
Yes. We were staying where the party was being held, upstairs in the spare bedroom.
Yes.
Had all of our belongings up there.
Yeah.
That's where
we got ready.
That's where we got ready.
Yeah.
We had a little area. So I go over to you. I do the like yawn, little tap on the shoulder, and you lend into me and you're like, I'm pretty tired. Like maybe we should just call it.
Time to call it.
And I was like, great, I'll start to say goodnight. And you were like, yeah, I think I'm just going to bounce upstairs. Like, I'm so tired.
Yeah.
I was like, cool, I'll say goodnight to people. You were like, I'll just be upstairs reading until you come up. So you chatted for a bit. I went off to start saying goodnight to some people.
Mm.
And then I came back into the kitchen area or near the stairs, and I was looking around and I noticed that she wasn't there anymore.
Where did she go?
And the way that the house was, I knew that she wasn't in the front room where I had just been. And then
that's right.
There was like the living open kitchen area into the courtyard, and I could see that she wasn't in any of those rooms. So the only place left was upstairs, but the party wasn't happening upstairs. That is where we were staying. So I was like, this is strange. I mean, where the bedrooms are. But nobody from the party was going upstairs. So at that point, I just felt rageful. I was like, something is off. I feel really sick. Something's wrong. I had this big feeling of not being safe. I had a betrayed feeling. I was like, this is in my body. Something is definitely amiss. And so I'm walking up the stairs, and I remember just feeling my face, like I just had that, like, what would my expression have been? Just resting bitch face, but like eyes wide. Like I just knew something was
wrong. You're on a mission. You're on a mission to find out what's happening.
I was just like, there was nowhere else for her to be other than upstairs.
Yeah.
So I walk upstairs. My heart is beating. It is pounding. And the music felt like it was louder. Like everything just felt so intense. I was like, something is wrong. Walk upstairs, take a deep breath, and then I open the bedroom door.
To keep on listening to this premium episode of the Evolving Love podcast, you can sign up to our premium subscriber feed at evolvingloveproject.substack.com.
Paid subscribers receive 2 extra podcast episodes each month and access to my full writing archive. So if you would like to gain exclusive access, you can sign up at the link in the show notes or at evolvingloveproject.substack.com.